We're talking about people smart in ministry and learning how to communicate well and studying this in such a way that we can improve. Now, I just want to remind all of us that this is a long process, a whole lifetime process of learning one principle and getting better and better, but taking it very humbly and seriously as we're learning how to love and care and communicate as spiritual leaders, as Christian leaders. We're going to talk about body language. We all, in one way or another, send our little messages out to the world. And rarely do we send our messages consciously. We act out our state of being with nonverbal body language. We lift an eyebrow for disbelief. We rub our noses for puzzlement. We clasp our arm to isolate ourselves or protect ourselves. We shrug our shoulders for indifference, wink our eye for intimacy, tap our fingers for impatience, slap our foreheads for forgetfulness. Our gestures are numerous, and while some are deliberate, there are some, such as rubbing our noses for puzzlement or clasping our arms to protect ourselves, they are mostly unconscious. That's what Julius Fast was quoted as saying in Robert Bolton's book, People Skills. The fact is, as leaders, spiritual leaders, church leaders, we want to learn how to read body language. Psychotherapist Alexander Lowen put it this way, no words are so clear as the language of body expressed once one has learned to read it. So, that's what we're going to do today. Talk about just some of the basic understandings of body language. The fact is, body language can indicate the emotion and emotional health of those we are ministering to, those that we are in relationship with. Nonverbals only portray a person's, not only portray a person's feelings, they also indicate how the person is coping with her feelings. For example, the expression on a person's face may indicate that she is angry. The rest of the body shows what she is doing about those angry feelings. So some people could be angry and the rest of the body can show you that she is not doing well with those anger feelings. The other person can be angry, but the rest of the body shows you that she's in process of giving that to God and forgiving the person that offended her. Many times we have what's called communication bifurcation. There are times when each of us uses words and ways designed to hide our feelings. Remember, we like to hide in the bushes like Adam and Eve hid in the bushes from God. Sometimes these tendencies toward deception are buried in our subconscious, and we're not even aware of our efforts to conceal. It's like there's a dishonest bifurcation, and someone, you know, in ministry will pastors will often call it that person's, she is emotionally dishonest, or he is emotionally dishonest. Similarly, each of us have learned to control our body language, whether consciously or subconsciously. We try to control the expression of emotion that is communicated through nonverbals. So the fact of the matter is many people, even ourselves to some extent, struggle with getting out of the bushes. So we have learned how to hide and keep emotions hidden. Body language and truth. We may be successful at choosing to control, or that is, create a facade. But when we try to control our nonverbals, our bodies usually blab the truth about our feelings. Even when a person makes a determined effort not to show emotions in body language, her true feelings usually leak past the attempt at control, though sometimes only for a fleeting moment. So our body languages can shout what we're really feeling. So we're going to talk now about guidelines for reading body language. Reading body language may be different in each culture out there, but I believe Bolton's 5 guidelines will be very helpful to think about wherever you live in the world. First of all, focus on the cues, the body language cues. And the first one is facial expression. The face not only discloses specific emotions, it telegraphs what really matters to a person. At times, a person's face may take a natural and lively intensity. This may occur in the midst of a conversation that seems relatively unimportant. Now, here as a pastor, leader, church leader, it's very important. You know, someone's just talking about something, and if their face all of a sudden lights up, there might be something beyond it or deeper. You might have discovered a real interest in that person's gifts or something they want to explore just by their facial expression. The eyes say a lot. Two, the expression of the eyes. The eyes and facial tissue surrounding them can be most eloquent. Eyes twinkle with mirth, become red and watery with sadness, glower with hostility. The eyes convey important information about how your relationship with another person is faring. They display affection and trust. With one person, distance with another, disengagement from a third person. You know, there's in America, there's kind of a little joke about husbands, you know, will be maybe together at fishing or something, and you know, one of the husbands got in trouble with his wife on something. It's sort of, and a little phrase comes up. Yeah, she gave me the look. And it's like the eyes made it very clear to the husband that he was not pleasing his wife. And at times there's a little bantering about that. But the fact is the eyes say a lot. Eyes as cues for pastors and leaders. As a person grows older, her most consistent emotional state tends to become permanently etched on her face. That's for a man or a woman. Some older faces are joyous and opened, suggesting a lifetime of happiness. No matter what has happened to that person, somehow that person's forgiven those who wronged her or him. That person has moved on from sadnesses and trusting the Lord. But others, on the other hand, express chronic disapproval, as though nothing in the world was ever quite right for them. And maybe it wasn't. And you can minister to them and hopefully give them that encouragement, and that Christ can, even at an older age, turn that spirit around. So the eyes for leaders, and as you study this more, you'll find certain clues. The tone and how our voice says something, our voice expression, is the third thing that we need to observe. Feelings like anger and enthusiasm, joy, tend to be accompanied by increased rapidity of speech, higher volume and higher pitch, a slower than normal rate of speech, lower volume and pitch tend to characterize feelings such as boredom or depression. So voice and tone, all of those things are a body language issue. Dr. Lynn Sperry has what he called a paralanguage, and these are some of the things that he mentions. Monotone voice often means boredom. Slower pitch, low pitch, often means depression. High pitch, emphatic pitch, shows enthusiasm. Ascending tone often means astonishment. Abrupt speech often means defensiveness. Terse speech, loud tone often means anger. High pitch, drawn out speech shows disbelief. So these are just some of the clues that you can learn as a leader about body language. Here's another principle of body language that's very important, number four. It's about posture, gestures, and actions. The movement of the head, the arms, the hands, the legs, the feet can be very revealing. A person wanting to terminate a conversation, for instance, may stretch her legs, bob her feet, straighten the papers on her desk, close her briefcase, and or sit in an upright position in preparation for leaving. And this is an important thing as a leader, because a lot of times we'll talk to people and sometimes just check in on them or stop at work to meet them or whatever or go to a hospital and pray with them. And we can see a lot by just certain body language cues of how long we should stay. If it's shorter than even our brief stay that we planned, we can see the body language of doctors and nurses. All of those things sort of help us understand how to appropriately minister in our situation. What do posture, gestures, and actions say in ministry? If we just keep thinking about it, well, there's also things I've noticed over the years. Let's say we have a meeting and someone is late. Or let's say someone just starts coming late to work or they're late to church. You know, I've seen that before where the people will be chronically later, later, and later. But the real issue, they have an authority issue with God or me or somebody or their neighbor or their friend or people will stay way longer. That's a powerful body issue in the marriage where a wife will come and talk to me at church and what we find out is his actions are as he's coming home later and later. There can also be in church, you'll see somebody who is, you know, there, but then slowly sits in the back. Let's say they usually sit in the middle. They sit in the back. I've also noticed it where somebody has an issue when they'll be listening, you know, hearing a sermon that is preached, and they'll start crossing their arms, or they'll start slouching, or they'll start looking away. Those are all issues. Or you'll see whispering in the background. Or I've even noticed, like, somebody will have the look of they're going to whisper in the background if someone will be around to listen to them. That there's a certain look that people give off if they're going to whisper in the background. It's like if they see the pastor and they will have this look of not getting eye contact and not really greeting, and you'll see them looking around as if someone to whisper to. They can be, you know, we talk about divisive people, but often their emotions via their body language makes it very clear what they're going to do. In the same way, if someone's early, if someone is sitting right up front, and how many times have you had that when you'll see someone on fire for the Lord and they want to hear every word and they're growing, and where do they sit? They want to hear every word and they want to get as close as possible. And instead of crossing their arms in a sermon, they're like, their body is moving with you. And how many times have I seen that where I'm preaching and I'm seeing somebody who's just like shaking their head, yes, they're engaged. And then I also, instead of whispering in the background, you see someone who just is open and they're talking with one another. And we can see as being people smart in ministry, these are very important cues to observe. There's also clothing, grooming, and environment. What does that say? Well, the way a person dresses and grooms herself or himself and the environment she selects or creates for herself is part of her message about herself to the world. And that is a powerful, what environment you create tells so much about what's going inside of yourself and how you're going to communicate. The fact is, pastors and leaders, ministry leaders, Christian leaders, we want to become good at read the nonverbals in context. And what I mean by context is you can take what I'm just talking about, each principle here, and then start looking. Look what that person's eye says. Look what that person's hands are doing. Look what that person's, you know, late or whatever. We have to be very careful because different people have a different upbringing. There's a context. Like my wife's family was the last minute to church her entire childhood, but they were feeding animals on their farm. And the fact of the matter is I could not interpret that when they were late that they had some sort of attitude against the sermon. They were just doing all they could. Now, maybe their family struggled with some procrastination. Maybe they could have got up a little bit early. You know, and you can analyze everything to the point where it becomes silly and meaningless. What I'm talking about here is the general principles in context. No single motion ever or body language or action ever stands alone. It is always part of a pattern, and its meaning is best understood in the pattern. I'll give you an example. If somebody was always early and always sat in the front, and that's your knowledge, and all of a sudden they sit in the back and they're late. That would be something that you'd want to pick out and notice. A specific gesture, action, like a word, is like a word in a paragraph. A word can have many meanings, but only in the context of the paragraph or chapter we can accurately understand its intended meaning. And that's so much how it goes with body language. Always note discrepancies. You've probably noted occasions when a person's words communicate one message, but her nonverbal suggests a very different meaning. This is like the lyrics of this old song describe this kind of discrepancy. Your lips tell me no, no, but there's yes, yes in your eyes. And that's sort of a song written for a married couple. But you can just see how those discrepancies can be applied in ministry. There are common discrepancies you'll see in ministry. The grief and sadness, some of the saddest utterances I have ever heard, Bolton says, have been accompanied by a speaker's cover-up laugh. I've heard dozens of people tell their deepest griefs of their lives while cloaking their anguished feelings with a chuckle. When a man shouts loudly he is angry, it may be that he does not want to admit these feelings to himself or to others. When a person laughs as she tells of a personal tragedy, it may mean that she wants to share this part of her life but doesn't want to burden the other person. Or she may be ambivalent about how she feels about this sadness or grief. So, here you are learning people smart tendencies and people smart in ministry skills. Be aware of your own feelings and bodily reactions. One family therapist says that the atmosphere in a troubled family can easily be felt. When she is in such a family, she quickly senses her own discomfort. The atmosphere may be cold, icy, polite, boring, or very wary, as if waiting for an angry explosion. In those situations, the therapist's body develops its own discomfort. Her stomach feels queasy, her shoulders ache, her head begins to throb. She tunes into those feelings and becomes more alert to what is happening in that family. And that's what happens as a pastor. When you're interacting with people, they'll walk into the room and something will happen to them. It's like the body language of the leader also feels some of the things that suggest what the situation may be about. Now, I want you to know that this takes experience. This takes interacting. This takes becoming a scientist of body language, of people skills. You just can't all of a sudden do this. This takes prayer. I believe the Holy Spirit and our own God-given abilities come together to help us analyze the body language in a room. The fact is, body language is a clear but sometimes confusing language. Through the centuries, popular figures of speech have developed in English and in all languages that coincide with the language of the body. Fearful people are often said to be frozen with fear. Angry people sometimes tremble with rage. Belligerent people are apt to bare their teeth. Reserved people they're standoffish. Confident people are bursting with enthusiasm or swollen with pride. Determined people grit their teeth. When trying to conceal their feelings, people keep a stiff upper lip, kind of sort of a British phrase. In spite of their efforts to hide their shame, some people are flush with embarrassment. They actually get red. Their body has a, she's blushing. The prominence of these cliches in our language suggests that we all have some expertise in reading body language. So, as a person who is in life, in real time, learning about communication, what we are to do is to reflect the feeling back to the sender. So let's say we're in a ministry conversation or we're in a conversation. In the process of verbalizing what you think the other may be feeling, their body language may tell you things, several things may be achieved. So you would say, so are you feeling angry if you notice that in the body? Or sometimes you make an educated guess. How do you feel about that? Do you feel angry? Do you feel sad? You seem pretty happy. You seem joyous about this. So anyway, first, check on the accuracy of your assumption about the other's feelings. Ask them. Secondly, you may help the speaker become more aware of the experience she is experiencing. Third, your reflection encourages the other to speak about the feeling part of her situation. And fourth, when the speaker hears her feelings reflected back by an accepting listener, she usually feels understood. So as we learn about body language and learning to understand the cues, to be people smart in ministry is to get better and better and better at being observant, learning what's being said, and using all of this insight and knowledge, this communication, to glorify God and to bless the person God has put into our lives.